finding them on the papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on the radio. Truth is on the radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this 24th day of October 2005. Program airs, to catch my breath, there's another one of these doing the duty of the network between breaks. I'm a little winded. Program airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and that is Central Time. And Charlie Reese did a piece. I just love saying Reese's Pieces. A little ripoff from the Chocolate People. But Charlie Reese, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get him on this program, and it's harder than all get out to get this guy to do radio interviews. But I'm going to get him. I'll get Charlie Reese on the air. He says, time for poor to do something about being poor. Laying blame for poverty on the doorstep of society, he says, is missing the bigger picture. And I just love the way this guy writes. He's a very clear thinker. Very good American, by the way. Let's go back to the phones. John in Little Rock. Hello, John.
Yeah, greetings from the home of an Asian porno star, William Justin Rockefeller Clinton. And that's what they call the trailer park, the Presidential Library.
Didn't he lay claim to being from Hope, Arkansas?
That is correct.
Oh, boy.
He spent his boyhood teen years in Hot Springs. Those are not my words. I didn't make them up. Those are the words of Adam Stang, and I give credit where credit is due.
Yeah. What's on your mind today?
Well, it's about being poor, and it's about how we've been deceived by the Zionist Jews. You know, so often I keep hearing about, Saddam Hussein, that he's a butcher, but he's one of our butchers.
Right.
Well, let's look at the facts of what's going on here. We got unguarded, unopened border. I mean, open borders. They ain't secured. And I just saw a picture of National Geographic right today at the library, and it was a picture of one of these border patrol guards in Tajikistan. I can't pronounce it right. This guy had an AK-47. He's on the border, right? And he posed for a photograph. Now, what that tell you, John Stadmiller? In most countries, you get shot for crossing somebody's borders.
Well, and especially armed.
I'm sorry for screaming, but I'm just so mad.
No. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that today, because I was just thinking, what happened to our Border Patrol people? What happened to the Minutemen? They were supposed to be calling us with updates, and it's already the 24th of August here. I've got to get these guys on the air this week to get an update, because not only are they doing the border thing at the southern border, they're also doing the Canadian border, but more importantly, they're now taking action to go after large corporations and employers for hiring these illegals. And I don't know where you're from, but I got to tell you, I was always told that aiding and abetting a felon made you a felon too.
Well, having been behind those Gray Bar Hotel, I can truly tell you about the law. You know, Edgar Steele knows the law because he's a lawyer. And a few other guests that you had on know the law because they've been lawyers or they were either clerks or whatever. But I can tell you firsthand, yes, aiding and abetting, from my point of view, is against the law. But see, here's the problem, right? You got these little slick young prosecutors. They want to make a case and make a quotum. So they go ahead and get somebody that ain't got no connections, and they just burn them on the grill and get as much time they can get out of them when they bring them to the court. They're cowards, and most of them are aided by the Zionist Jews to begin with. The Zionist Jews have brought all these damn Mexicans here. I just got to talk to a Mexican, John, I hate to say this word, but bear with me. I just got to talk to a Mexican female transsexual in the park. Check this out. I got me an MP3 player with voice recorder. I brought it to a certain store for $50, and I've been doing man on the street interviews ever since. And I'm gonna post these at shankradio.com in the forum group under the name JL7.
Now what site is that?
Well, Shank, one of your hosts.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
But see, here's what I'm trying to say, right? I've been doing man-on-the-street interviews with this little thing no bigger than a pack of gum.
Okay, hold on. You can hear the music. I got a break. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Gano Cafe is the new energy drink that is sweeping the globe. Already a number one beverage in Asia, Gano Cafe is the new energy drink for coffee, tea, and cocoa lovers. What makes Gano Cafe special is the secret ingredient, reishi, a concentration of six species of red mushroom, also known as the miraculous king of herbs. Known for its high nutritional value, reishi packs a bigger punch than ginseng. One packet of Gano Cafe is the energy equivalent of a whole pot of coffee. All natural Gano Cafe tastes great and is a drug-free alternative for optimal health and longevity, with several delicious varieties, including mocha, hot cocoa, and the Brazilian coffee classic. You can experience Gano Cafe for yourself. Find out what people around the world are drinking for energy and how they meet the demands of a busy day in a natural and healthy way. Try Gano Cafe today. Visit www.gethealthyoncoffee.com or call 888-784-0718. Call now and receive a free gift with your first order. Again, that is 888-784-0718.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back, and John in Little Rock, you were about ready to make a statement there, so go ahead and do that, please.
Yes, all right. Picking up where I left off. You got to understand, we're being played, John, and now this so-called anti-hate thing is getting ready to become law. I hope they do go ahead and pass it, because I'm going to make as many podcasts as I can and drop my name and address at the end of each podcast. And if you want to know something else, John, sir, no, I'm kind of mad at you what you just said earlier to another guy.
What's that?
You know, you said something about congressman. There's a train passing overhead. It'll be over in a second. Now, you said something about we got congressmen or congress critters in the U.S.
Yeah.
Congress and the Senate.
Yeah.
Why do you want to cuss me out like that?
Cuss you out? Who cussed you out?
You did.
How's that?
You said we got Congress critters, representative of the people.
Yeah, about 92% of them are lawyers. That's what I said.
Well, you can forget that. We don't have any congressman or senator. The last congressman was Leo Ryan back during the Jonestown Guyana thing. What's the other guy that got killed on that Korean flight, 007?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Well, it's actually...
I forgot his name.
Yeah, John, it actually goes back further than that.
Those men served the people truly with distinction, and they put it on the line, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Now, anything after that, forget it. We don't have no more real representatives in Congress or the Senate. Those men truly served this nation, and they truly deserve, a funeral with the American flag on their casket. Anything else after that, a bunch of traitors. And we all know the treason for traitors in most countries. It means a trial. And then there's a rope around your neck or a firing squad.
Yeah, I fully agree with that.
Yeah. We don't have anything after that. I don't call to represent it. As a matter of fact, we got a congresswoman here named Blanche Lambert Lincoln, and she got a veteran representative named Rod Sweetman. They don't do nothing for homeless vets to come running to them because last Saturday had a VA stand down for the homeless veterans and people that want to get clothes, prostate check, and stuff. And I went over to the VA drop and said, like, a long story short, when the van showed up, they didn't pick me up. They didn't let me get in the van to go to the hospital to get, you know, get my issues, my government issue, prostate check, yada, yada, yada. Because you know why, sir?
Why?
Because the VA drop-in set a bar of certain vets for too much aggressive behavior or disrespect to the staff. So all this talk about what the VA supposed to do for veterans,
a bunch of crap. Yeah, I'm fully aware of that. We had a guy on, and I have to get him on the air again, Art Burnclough. They stepped on this guy, and he stepped right back on him and has been working overtime, going into Washington, D.C., talking to various groups about what exactly you've just been talking about. Yeah, it's the meat grinder.
Well, Adrian Steele said on the Rick Adams show that he was ashamed to be a veteran because the government ain't under their contract. And when I told him, I said, we got veterans here sleeping in doorways and stuff, he was just ticked off to the ninth degree. Yeah. And he said he was just totally ashamed.
All right. Hey, well, thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it.
Well, we're being played by the Zionists by both sides on the middle.
That and the Pharisees, and I think the Pharisees hung Jesus Christ on the cross, and I think the Zionists are picking up where they left off. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Mike Golden, you were at the Saddam Hussein trial.
I'm still down here sitting in front of this house of ill repute, for lack of a better term, the federal courthouse, the Lloyd D. George Center. I'm looking at it right now. What a circus kangaroo act that we have had going on for the last 7 weeks.
Now,
I'm Mike Golden. I'm known as the Radio Rebel.
Okay.
And I've been covering this case, and, you know, the blogs and the information that I've put out on a consistent basis every single day, I've had people come to this trial after a week or two, and they meet me, and they go, you know, I thought you were just putting on shtick, that this was just part of your act, your routine. It could be this bad. He said, Mike, it's 1,000 times worse than you put it out to be. And it is. And what we just saw happen today, I'll run down these for you and let you know what goes on. We had, as you know, the case against Irwin Schiff and two co-defendants on conspiracy, and they had 36 counts against these three people, Cindy Nguyen, Larry Cohen, and of course, Irwin Schiff. I run down the counselor. Larry was the first one they brought up. He was found guilty on one charge. It was either 7 or 17, I believe, very hard to hear. He was not guilty on count 1, which is conspiracy, 14 and 15. Cindy, this one here was the tough one. Cindy was found guilty on count 1, which against conspiracy, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 24, 25, 27, 28, 29, 32, and 33. She was found not guilty on count 26. Irwin was found guilty on count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23.
Now, let me ask you a question here, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Was Irwin allowed to put a defense up for himself in this courtroom?
You know, that's, again, anyone that would have walked into this and seen what was going on, you would have been sickened by it. He was allowed a defense, provided he couldn't bring any evidence that would help him out. They denied all evidence. They had denied the jury to see the evidence even after the court was over. The jury actually asked to see evidence that had been presented as in the code book, and the judge denied that. That was Thursday. We thought that was a good sign that they denied it. Apparently, it didn't matter. His witnesses that he brought on, he was not allowed to ask them anything about anything other than, do you know me? Am I true to my word? Am I honest? And what do you think about me?
That's character witnesses.
It was great. Yeah, they wouldn't allow anything else. That was it. In fact, it was so atrocious. The third day of court, the judge made the statement, this is again 7 weeks ago, made the statement that law has nothing to do with this trial.
Well, he wasn't lying.
That's absolutely right. And in such, when he said it, and Irwin kept trying to talk about law and show me the law and give me the law, on what they call a sidebar, and that's where all the attorneys, everything goes behind a little curtain where the jury can't hear them. And most of the stuff was done behind closed doors, so the jury had no idea what was really going on. Irwin was instructed, the next time that you bring up the law, you're going to have a day in jail.
Really?
And I'm going to sanction you. And every time after that, it's going to double. He ended up, I think, having 6 or 7 years, even if he'd been found not guilty, just from the sanctions. And all this was done, again, behind closed doors, behind the jury. They had no idea this was going on. And the judge, and you know, he's a little short, sawed-off idiot, he would say, sanction. But he'd say it underneath his voice, or, you know, very under his breath. You couldn't hear him. Anytime Roman Britt sanctioned, and it got up to like 6 or 7 years. And the jury had no idea what the sanctions meant or what it was about. They had no idea that they'd already hung this time on him.
Jeff Jackson called into the network, and he said that the jury actually had requested the law, and the judge refused it.
The judge repeatedly throughout the court, throughout the hearing, said, again, law has nothing to do with this. I will tell you what the law is.
Yep.
What I say is the law, yep. And you only can. And then the prosecution's closing arguments, they made those statements to the jury. The judge has told you what the law is. You are to only rule upon what the judge says the law is. Period. Now, Finney Noon, one of the co-defendants, last minute they allowed her IRS code book, her notes, and a couple other items of hers to be entered into evidence. With, and again, jury's out of the room when this is going on,
mm-hmm.
with the understanding that it couldn't be taken into the jury room. It was in his evidence, but you can't look at it. Unless the jury requested it, then he would rule on that. They asked for it Thursday afternoon at about 1:30. The judge and the conference call ruled upon it. It would be his words. It would be problematic for me to allow the code book to be taken into the jury room.
Oh, no. Well,
I swear to goodness, this is the honest God truth. It would be problematic. Irwin, of course, this was on a conference call. We weren't here in court, but it's on a conference call. We were listening to everything. The Irwin, up, you know, he raised his argument, his objection that, well, judge, I object to that because if the rule and if the law in the code book is in agreement with what you say and is true, then there should be no problem with them looking at it. Doesn't matter. Goodbye. See ya. It was so bad in the courtroom, the aggressiveness, the abusiveness that this judge showed towards Irwin, and he made no bones about it. If the prosecution were to raise an objection to something that Irwin would say, they would have as much time as they wanted to defend their why they've objected. I mean, I saw one of them go in 5 minutes. Well, here's why it should be da da da. The second that they would object to something that Irwin said, Irwin would be in the middle of a conference or a session or a word or a phrase, and it would be object, sustained.
Now let me guess here, Mike. They had many government witnesses. You probably had people from the Department of Justice in there. You probably had
35 of them. 35 of them.
35 of them.
And they were unchallenged. They were just idiots.
Are you familiar with the Dixon Cannon trial?
You know, I absolutely was. Yes, I was. Yes.
Okay. Well, the exact
I've been
same.
Following it. Oh yeah.
The exact
I'm familiar
same
with
thing.
The Joe Bannister case.
Yep.
Joe Bannister. They, you know, we couldn't get him in. We had here in the court, we had Bob Schultz from We the People.
Yeah, I was up there also.
Oh, were you here? Okay, great.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. I was, as you just described, I said those were character witnesses up there because the only thing that was allowed in the courtroom was to be asked, well, do you know this person? And this one was Dixon Cannon. Yes, I do. Yeah, I was a character witness. I was on the stand for 30 seconds. And all I did when I got up from the witness stand is I just looked at the jury and shrugged my shoulders like, what was that all about? As a matter of fact, I even had the judge going after me, from his bench and asking me, you know, how I feel about the federal government and its proper role. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, who's showing up for what trial here? You know, if you want my opinion about do I like blue skies or do I like cloudy skies, you can ask me that after the trial. You know, I mean,
let me tell you how bad and aggressive the animosity in this one.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hang on a second, Mike Golden.
Sure.
We'll take the break here and come back on the other side. I want to hear a little bit more about this. 800-313-9443. More news information coming at you right after this.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Fight Father Time with Cocoon GH. This advanced growth hormone spray delivers impressive results. Listen to what 51-year-old Gail Contax experienced while on Cocoon GH.
My eyesight was failing. My skin was sagging. I was losing muscle tone and my bones and joints were aching. I initially got started on a product called Ultimate HGH. I felt a little more energy for the first few weeks, but then I began to feel tired again. Then I heard an ad on Cocoon GH and gave a call. I learned that Ultimate HGH isn't even growth hormone. I started using Cocoon GH and the first thing I noticed was my aches and pains went away. After another few weeks, my energy came up, as did my strength and endurance. I'm getting a better night's sleep and waking up feeling rested. My muscle tone and my eyesight both improved after 1 month. My sex drive got stronger and, much to my surprise, my menopausal symptoms went away and my period came back. I'm impressed beyond belief. Thanks, Cocoon Nutrition.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
This is Christine with another Bring 'Em Home message. Have we as Americans had enough yet? With the recent crisis in New Orleans and the southern Gulf Coast, death and destruction have been visited upon Americans once again. The government's response has been to bring foreign troops onto America's land. Federal and foreign troops now control the region, while the National Guardsmen are away, entangled in foreign wars, unable to protect their homes and families. The New World Order has reached its long-planned objective, to secure American troops on foreign soil and foreign troops on American soil. Let's get these foreign troops out and bring our American troops home now. Help us make the public aware of this dire situation by displaying on your cars our Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons or our new Bring 'Em Home bumper stickers. To place your orders, call 877-605-9200 or go to rbnlive.com or bringemhome.org.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out? School, that's what this is. The Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out?
What constitution? It doesn't matter. Light and transient reasons. Let's get the pulse of the public. Let's get the public opinion on our side. Well, you know the story behind that one. I've got Mike Golden on. We're talking briefly here about the, I might as well call it the Saddam Hussein trial, right, Mike?
I call it the kangaroo court in Vegas.
Yeah. So, okay.
You know, so, if you could have only seen it, the people that came in, you know, they knew, these attorneys knew, they should be ashamed of themselves. This judge, you know, this is a 77-year-old man that had a hard time walking around, just getting up and down the deal, and they would not allow anything in. Every single time he tried to introduce any evidence, it was denied, it was blasted. And again, when the jury actually asked for one of the code book, being told, no, you can't have it, you think the jury would have had the intelligence to go, you know what? What are they hiding? But no, I don't know if they're bought and paid for. We suspected on the get-go there was at least one plant, possibly two, and that pretty much is where I'd go with it. Now I got a real hard time with what's going on down here. And again, Kangaroo Court is an understatement of what just happened down here in Las Vegas.
Well, and you know, this is going to continue. I mean,
oh, yeah.
it's just not going to stop with Irwin Schiff or Dixon Cannon. Dick was his problem ran into the national media picked it up at the behest of the Department of Justice. They did a slew of negative stories.
Wow, this is Leonard.
You know, we continued to ask. He continued to ask even outside the courtroom after this Circus Act was over. We'd ask the attorneys that came out, you know, you didn't do it on the stand. You didn't do it in the courtroom. Show me the law. They never once cracked the code book. They never once cracked Irwin's book or any other book to show where the law was.
And
the judge says,
yeah,
well, it's according to the code, such and such. You gave six codes, yeah, and you got to combine all those together, and with that you get the law. No, it's not true.
That's not true. And we know it. And what's going to happen, and Dixon can, as I started to say, that he had a particular problem because he didn't seek public referendums or, you know, public exposure. He was lumped into a slew of news stories at the behest of the Department of Justice to put down these tax protesters, and he was lumped into that little group. And I got to tell you what, I didn't even have to be at Irwin Schiff's trial because it sounds to me they ran it exactly like they did Dixon Cannon's.
Well, you know, the sad part about this is the judge is a Mormon. He's a Mormon in the fact that he's also the president of all the Mormons in the state of Nevada. And Mormons, as I have learned, as I've become to know, I don't know their whole theology, but, you know, I've always respected them for what they do. I differ from their beliefs, but they're basically good, honest people. And they believe in the Constitution. This man spat on, walked on, crumpled, burned, and trashed the Constitution. As soon as he put on his robe of disrespect,
yeah,
he lost all insight of what law was.
But Mike, Bannister,
I'm sorry.
But Mike, I was going to say, from the outset, the thing about Mormons is that, let me put it to you this way. There are only a couple of different categories of people that get into intelligence work in the CIA and so on and so forth.
Terms, intelligence and government, they two don't work together.
Yeah, one of course being if you're a Mason,
right,
if you're or if you're a Mormon, if you're one of those two, you've got a shoo-in to be in the intelligence agencies. Now, what I've been able to determine about the Mormons is their hierarchy. I'm not saying the rank and file, the churchgoers or whatever else.
Right.
But these people have poised themselves to take over when things fall apart. And they have said that, yes, we're going to return to a constitutional form of government. Well, how am I supposed to believe that when they've taken the simple word of God and butchered it to the point that they have? So I'm going to leave this.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave
right.
this in their hands to return a constitutional government once again. I'm sorry.
You know, John, the other thing that was so incredible down here was the amount of support that was here was so waxing. It was there's nothing here. You know, some days we had four or five people. At the high point, we had 22, 23 in our side, and we had more than the...
But, Mike, nobody was talking about it. I had to actually track Irwin down, and Irwin used to be on my old network. I had to call him up and say, hey, how screwed up is your life right now?
Well, here's the sad part. I mean, I've been pretty proficient at getting the word out on everything I touch. I've gotten coverage after coverage, and I'm very proficient at it. I could not get coverage on this. I couldn't get the local media, the national media. I couldn't get anybody to drum it up. And I apologize for not having your number and getting hold of you sooner.
Okay.
I blew it. But man, my name and number and phone, any and everybody that wanted to talk to me has. And he brought me down here to get the word out, and I've done all I can. I mean, I'm physically exhausted. My voice is about shot.
Yeah, well, Mike, the very same people that did the Department of Justice request here to go out and start beating the drums for let's get these tax protesters and do the right thing with them, the very same people have been told not to cover these types of stories.
Absolutely.
Because they just might glean some useful, important information by tracking down names or websites or something else. They're not going to give them the time of day.
You're absolutely right. The mainstream media, which is worthless as we know what. I mean, they're garbage. We've had the Tribune down here in Las Vegas has done a very good job of getting the word out.
Well, do me a favor. If you would, Mike, let my producer bring you down. I'm going to get your contact number, and we'll stay in touch with each other.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the time.
Okay, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it very much. Everybody hang on. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on the shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Eileen Proctor sent this over to me. Senior White House officials face prospect of life in prison for outing of CIA agent Valerie Plame unless they testify for the prosecution. Brad Freeman's VelvetRevolutions.us, a coalition of 120 organizations and citizens dedicated to honest government. What does that mean, honest government? Does that mean honesty in the crooked government we have right now? has done an analysis of the federal sentencing guidelines and its probable effect on the sentencing of any senior White House official convicted in the Valerie Plame affair. By going after Wilson and his wife, those officials apparently committed serious crimes, which they have then compounded by obstructing justice and committing and suborning perjury. As a result, they have virtually ensured that, if convicted, they could receive a sentence up to life in federal prison under the United States sentencing guidelines, which are used to compute sentences based on severity offense levels. The higher the level, the greater the sentence. The federal courts routinely follow the guidelines in the vast majority of the cases. And that website, again, by the way, is www.velvetrevolution.us. The best case scenario for those involved would be a conviction of only a single count of perjury or obstruction of justice, either of which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in a federal prison. Now, under the guidelines, that would probably result in the maximum sentence because both charges have a base offense level of 14. Going on their sentencing scale. And those convicted will most probably receive enhancements of 3 levels for substantial interference with the administration of justice, 6 levels for victimizing a government employee and a family member, 2 levels for abuse of the public trust, and 4 levels for being a leader. Now, these total 29 levels, which equals 87 to 108 months in a federal prison under the guidelines, far above the 5-year statutory maximum, so the final sentence will be 5 years. However, and it gets a little, for you court watchers out there and people involved in the law, I'll cite you the sections here. It says, however, federal prosecutors rarely issue 1-count indictments, but rather charge every possible violation. You know what I call that, folks? That's like heaving dirty baby diapers at the wall. Whichever one sticks, that's the one you go with. But you throw a couple hundred diapers at the wall, and chances are you'll have 50 or 60 of them that stick. However, federal prosecutors rarely issue the 1-count indictments, but rather charge every possible violation. In the instant case, it is highly likely that Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald will throw the book at them by charging conspiracy in violation of the Intelligence Identities Protection Act of 1982, that being the IIPA, 50 U.S.C. Section 421, each carrying a maximum sentence of 10 years. Conspiracy in violation, the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793, each carrying 10 years, and multiple counts of perjury and obstruction of justice, each carrying 5 years. Moreover, because there was an agreement among many people in the case, there will be most probably also an overreaching conspiracy charge to violate multiple statutes. Now, it is significant that the IIPA mandates that any sentence under the Act be imposed consecutively. In other words, not concurrently, so you can't charge somebody and give them many years for many different counts and bang the gavel and say, oh, and by the way, these run concurrently. No, that's consecutively, to any other sentence in the indictment. Now, the federal sentencing guidelines reflects the seriousness of the conviction under the IIPA by setting a base offense level of 30 for disclosure by a person with or who had access to classified information identifying a covert agent. Now, folks, the story we got, this came right out of the White House. This was planned by Bush. You remember the story here? This guy went, looking for the uranium that was going to be shipped over to Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. It was a lie and it was fabricated. But, well, he came out with it and basically shot down the Bush White House, and, well, the Bush White House shot back. All right. I won't go through the rest of this. Except this. Finally, because of a grievous harm to our country and the potential disruption of governmental function, you know, it doesn't matter if they interrupt your function, but we're talking governmental function here, the sentencing court, even if the guidelines were not so severe, would most certainly find under Section 5K2.0A1A, aggravating circumstances sufficient to warrant an upward departure from the guidelines. Significantly, the White House conspirators will not receive any sentence reductions for acceptance of responsibilities, since that does not apply to persons who obstruct an investigation. Indeed, the only hope for them under the guidelines appear to be a quick decision to cooperate with the special prosecutor, and that does not mean merely meeting with the FBI and testifying before a grand jury. Instead, it means saving their own skin by implicating and testifying against fish bigger than they are. And that means George Bush and Dick Cheney. Now, the days of Watergate are over where corrupt officials only receive a few years in prison for their official misconduct. Now, Fitzgerald and the sentencing guidelines control the lives of Rove and company. Unless one of the potential defendants jumps ship very soon, clearly the only guarantee for Rove and his conspirators to limit their prison time is complete cooperation before indictment. But if their past decisions are of any indication, the conspirators will go down with the ship, believing until the end that George Bush will pardon them for their crimes, which he may not be willing to do if he too is indicted or wants to maintain a legacy better than Richard Nixon. Will Rove roll over? Well, does this strike you as a man that would stand up for principle? Nah. He's a talker. He's a mover and a shaker. He's one of the behind-the-scenes kind of guy, and that's what this whole man's life is about. is behind the scenes kind of a thing. Now, whose toes would he be stepping on if he said to the prosecutors, look, all right, okay, I want a mutiny. I'll roll over. I'll give you Bush and I'll give you Cheney. How many people are ready to do that right now? Now, as far as the upwardly mobile global elite, let's put them, well, let's just call them that for a second, the higher echelon of the global elite, folks, they'll sacrifice anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. They don't care. As long as whatever they're doing furthers their agenda. Does that mean cutting off some dead wood if necessary? Absolutely. But I don't know that Rove knows this or not. And he would basically be doing us a great favor by telling all of what Mr. Bush has been involved in. And I'm sure that there's probably a litany of charges that could be leveled against George Bush that would stretch from here to the moon. And probably a sentence half as long as that in prison. Now, will Rove roll? Who knows? It depends. Now, does this guy kind of strike you as the kind of guy that would stand up for his ex-boss? Or I don't even know if Rove is still, is Rove still working for Bush? He very well could be. Who knows? But will he roll? Well, he doesn't strike me as being a particularly strong man. So if he's isolated from the Bush gang, their group, and he's told, well, look, you know, you could spend a lifetime in prison here, pal. But, you know, we got a deal. Yeah, we'll give you 10 years in jail. Maybe we'll give you 5 and 5 off for good behavior. That's better than spending the rest of your life in prison. And then maybe we can put him in a witness protection program. You know, like they do all the time. How do you hide a Rove? Well, first you got to install a zipper on his mouth. Because Mr. Rove is his own worst enemy. At any rate, let's go back to the phones here. John in Minnesota. Hello, John. How you doing?
John, we're finally back on the air again.
Who is?
Me.
Oh, okay.
You haven't heard from me for a coon's age.
Yeah, I don't know what happens
busy.
To people
I've
when
been,
I don't hear from them.
I've been busy. I've been working my duff off, and my wife can testify to that.
Okay.
Anyhow, the fellow that was on previously misidentified that individual in a black robe as being a judge. That is not a judge. That is a poor little stupid puppet that bounces on the end of strings and his mouth moves in accordance to what his puppeteers want that mouth to say.
Now, is that going to say that on his check stub when he gets retirement? I doubt
his
it.
His check stub will likely say 120 grains. But
or 30 pieces of silver, which
he doesn't know that. You know, they don't pay off. They can't afford to pay anybody off. The easiest way to do is blow them away, and that's what they do. A judge is too much of a problem, or that individual that they call a judge is too much of a problem for them. They don't want them around. So,
well, and
they eliminate problems.
Well, but John, what really gets me about this is it doesn't take that much to tumble the House of Cards because, well, inherently the House of Cards is unstable anyhow. That's why they call it a House of Cards. You kick out a king here and an ace there and a deuce there, and pretty soon this House of Cards starts to topple.
Well,
I would prefer to think that we have some judges out there that have been kind of misinformed, and maybe they've been going along to get along so far, but I, for one, cannot believe that we don't have enough judges out there that would want to do the right thing. And I can't see them going to hell in a handbasket here, retirement check or none. I don't care which. But I would like to think that we've got some people out there that are seated on benches right now that would want to do the right thing, given the right venue or the opportunity to do it. Now, I understand what you just said about, you know, you stick your neck out. You know, these people don't care. You know, they'll whack you. They'll shut you up. They'll threaten your family. They'll call an IRS audit. They'll do whatever they have to do because a lot of these judges are dirtier than all get out. But some of them aren't.
Judge Mache was a classic example of that. Up through Friday of that trial, he was a judge. When he came back on Monday morning, he looked like he had seen hell firsthand. Apparently, the boys had gone and talked to him, and they had him frightened so badly he wouldn't he wouldn't do anything but dance to their tune. But,
you know what?
Anyhow,
I don't know, John, if somebody were to ask you, okay, John, I'm going to offer you a check right now, and it doesn't matter how many zeros are there, but what we're negotiating here is the sale of your soul. How many zeros do I put behind this one?
You don't know how to write that many numbers.
Well, and that's my point.
And there are some real judges out there, and that's what we have to get to. But these poor little frightened animals that sit up there in a black robe and are just nothing more than puppets.
Well, I don't know how...
They're disgusting.
John, I don't know how good you are at locating people, but I'm not too bad at it, but I don't have the time or the money or the whatever to go hunt these people out. Is there any way that they can come forth and say, hey, I'm an honest guy? You know, let's have an honesty in law club here. You know, everybody that's honest that wants to see the right thing done, let's raise their hands.
Well, we have an individual that apparently is doing some pretty heavy-duty work with a high level of insulation. I'll send you the article on him.
All right.
He may be a serious problem to those people, and if he is truly what he represents himself to be, then we better ask the Lord to protect that boy. That's where it comes from.
All righty. John, thanks for your call.
Or that poor fellow that did his little dance routine, I feel sorry for him. He has brought his own sentence, and that's the way it is.
Well, you know, and John, you and I don't have anything to do with the ultimate sentence. In other words, go to heaven, go to hell. That's not my bailiwick. The good Lord himself is going to take care of that problem. And, see, I don't have to consider stuff like that because I do believe that people like this are going to go to hell forever.
Yeah.
Forever and ever.
Well, they sentenced themselves.
Well, of course they do.
God didn't sentence them. They made their own sentence. And they wanted that sentence. They've got it.
Thanks for your call.
Get you later.
Glad to hear you back. Yeah, how many, I don't know, folks. It's once been said, everybody has their price. What would you sell your soul for? There's a lot of people have done it. And the magnificent, fat, and juicy justification. See, I once heard in a movie, I think it was, what was that? I can't think of the name of the movie right now, but basically, Jeff Goldblum was in the movie, and he was interviewing him, I think himself, and he was just having fun with a tape recorder and saying that, well, justifications are more important than sex. And he responded to himself, well, no, it isn't. He said, really? You ever tried to go a week without a juicy justification? Think about how many things in our lives that we offer justification to ourselves for, to pardon ourselves or to excuse ourselves, you know, for going along to get along, whatever the case may be. People don't think of that as selling necessarily their soul, but that's exactly what they're doing. Piecemeal. A little bit here, a little bit there. And you get to midlife and you get towards the end of your life and you look back and you think, well, you try to tell yourself you've lived a pretty productive life and you've been maybe a contributing member to society and this, that, and the other. Have you really? Because how did these juicy little justifications affect how you operated as a man or a woman? Right or wrong? Good or bad? You know, no gray shaded areas. It's either this or it's that. You know, I once had a person tell me, you know, there are seven different layers to truth. What may be true for me may not be true for you. And I thought about that for a second. This was during a lunch meeting, and I thought about that for a second, and I thought, what is this guy trying to tell me? I looked at him, and I said, you know, there are immutable truths. And then there's immutable falsehoods. It's either this or it's that. There's no gray shaded areas here. They didn't have a response to that. But he was convinced that there were seven layers to truth. People do it all the time. Let me do this real quick, and then I'll take some more calls. Time for poor to do something about being poor. Charlie Reese, one of Reese's pieces here. Since the talking heads on television discovered poverty while covering the Gulf Coast hurricanes, I've heard several commentaries on the subject. All of them shared one thing. The poor were left out of the conversation. According to the commentaries, it's the non-poor's fault the poor are poor. We have abandoned, neglected, turned our backs on them, etc., and so forth. Hey, didn't the poor have anything to do with the fact that they are themselves poor? Of course they did. Now, granted, there is such thing as bad luck, accidents, illnesses, layoffs, lots of things we can't control can upset the financial apple cart, so to speak. A majority of these poor people, however, are poor because they did it to themselves. They failed to educate themselves, no matter how lousy government schools are. You can learn in them if you want to. Now, one study of Asian children found that they excelled whether they attended a good school or a slum school. The difference was their parents motivated them to learn. Now, besides, there is hardly a city or town in America that doesn't have a public library. And there's a PhD's worth of knowledge sitting on those shelves, free for the taking. Harrison Ford, the actor, went to a library and taught himself to be a master carpenter before he became a successful actor. The public libraries are probably one of the most valuable and least used resources in America that are available to everyone. Now, some people are poor because they develop drug or alcohol addictions. Chemical addictions are not racial in the least. I know a former lawyer and judge, white as bleached flour, he says, who wrecked his career, his family, and his life because of the addiction to crack cocaine. A chemical addiction can drive anybody down if it's not faced and stopped. Now, some people are poor because they never developed good work habits or even good grooming. Now, nobody's going to hire some kid with his pants down around his buttocks who talks street slang instead of English, and who is 2 days from his last brush with soap and water. Now, nobody is going to keep or promote someone who is chronically late to work, watches the clock, and is the first person out the door. Now, Charlie Reese goes on to say, my dad would always cap his advice on work habits and grooming with the warning, the world doesn't owe you a living. What he meant was that when you go into the marketplace, you better be prepared to compete and to offer a potential employer more than just a plea for pity. Now, some people are poor because they never learned to handle money. Government schools and a lot of parents fail their children in this regard. It's one of the most important things a child can learn. And these are my words, folks, because these are little adults in training. Remember that. It's one of the most important things a child can learn, he says, because the formula for success is real simple. You must spend less than you earn. You must save and then invest. That's all there is to it. There are thousands of how-to books written on the subject, but the good ones all boil down to three rules. Spend less than you earn, save it, invest it. Now, this is still a country where anybody of average intelligence can achieve some level of success if he or she is willing to work hard. I personally know many immigrants who came here without a dime, some not even speaking English, but through hard work have made themselves wealthy with no assistance from the government or anybody else. Finally, he says, as sad as it is to say, some people are poor because they are stupid and or lazy. These you can't help. They will either squander or let somebody gyp them out of whatever you give them. Lots of families have one or more of these kinds of people, and in better days, they were just taken care of by their families. But don't buy this con game of laying poverty on the non-poor. He says it's bull uttered by people with an ideological interest in big government. By the way, Charlie Reese is a nationally syndicated columnist. I mean, this guy, he's an amazing guy because his knowledge pool is very, very deep. And some of the subjects that he talks about, I mean, if you see his column appear in a national column, if you're uninitiated, uninformed, you don't know what's going on, you may read it and think, oh, that's pretty interesting. But I can read a lot of Charlie Reese's pieces, and I know exactly what this guy's knowledge pool and how deep it is. But see, it's lost on the people that don't have a semblance of knowing what the heck is going on. You know, they're living life, but they have absolutely no idea of how they got there and why. I mean, to them, they just take it day by day because life happens. I mean, that's their attitude. All right, let's go back to the phones. Victor in Ontario. Hello, Victor.
John?
Yes, sir.
Just what you were discussing there, just the blatant injustice in many of the courts today, brought to mind just a verse from Micah that I wanted to share. It says, her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and our prophets tell fortunes for money. It just seemed to be appropriate.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you should mention that. Over the weekend, my wife, sometimes I fall asleep on the couch. And she came down and she changed the channel on the TV and put one of these religious broadcasters on. The people, I call them of the temple, where they have the bricks and the mortar and the glass cathedrals and this, that, and the other. I didn't know that God or Jesus Christ demanded that you build a palace in order to teach people about the Word. But that's all that I see on television anymore.
Right.
You know, I mean, and what do they promote? Well, you know, all you have to do is listen to them. But you wouldn't know any different if you didn't have a well-rounded base of knowledge. They can't discern from one thing to the next.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, actually. I was looking like throughout the scriptures in the New Testament. There's nowhere where Christians are told to build a temple or a building. The body of Christ is the building, the temple. It's not even told to worship inside of buildings. They build these cathedrals of magnificence for all for show, really, and it's got nothing to do with true worship.
Well, Jesus Christ didn't have his glass temple, did he?
That's right.
I mean, he carried his church between his ears. He carried that in his brain and in his heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, God bless you.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
it's just... Oh, gosh. We only got a couple of minutes here. I don't have time to get into any lengthy stories. Did they really say that? Every once in a while, we glean a couple of cool things out of here. Skeletons in the closet. The reclusive former FBI director Louis Freeh recently appeared on a nightly news show to promote his new book, My FBI, in which he discusses his toxic relationship with Bill Clinton. In his book, Freeh wrote, "The problem was with Bill Clinton, the scandals and rumored scandals, the incubating ones and the dying ones, never ended. Whatever moral compass the president was consulting was leading him in the wrong direction. His closets were full of skeletons just waiting to burst out." Yeah, what about you, Louis? Oh, man, if you check closely, you probably shared skeletons there. Greatest disaster, General William Odom, Army retired, recently wrote an article which was published on the Internet about the continued U.S. military presence in Iraq. He said the invasion of Iraq will turn out to be the greatest strategic disaster in U.S. history. The wisest course for journalists might be to begin sustained investigations as why leading Democrats have failed so miserably to challenge the U.S. occupation of Iraq. The first step, of course, is to establish as conventional wisdom the fact that the war was never in the U.S. interest and has not become so. Odom served, by the way, as director of the National Security Agency under President Reagan. Well, that'll do it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. Following this broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network is going to be Jack McLam. And no, you won't be able to hear him on shortwave if you're getting ready to tune the dial because he's not on shortwave. Oh, that's right. But with your continued support and help, he will be. Give us a call at 800-724-2719 to find out how you can help. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.